Really good third hour. Welcome to the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. It's great to have you here. Program, of course, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. If you have any thoughts and reaction to the content we just had, Adam Hawk did run the LA Marathon. He did break 5 hours. We had that whole thing for you. I will circle back and get your reaction. You've got your telephone number. You know to find me on Twitter. Hit me up on email. Coming up next segment, the manager of the Oakland A's, Bob Melvin. That's about 20 minutes out. But first things first, we are joined by the head basketball coach at Utah State. He's in his second season as Aggies head coach. He was named the Conference Coach of the Year 4 times, led Utah State to a share of the Mountain West regular season title and a conference tournament title last year, led them to the tournament title once again this year. He is the pride of Marshall County, Minnesota. He is Craig Smith. Craig, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Man, I'm so fired up to be on the jungle again. You got to forgive me, my voice. It's a bit of a train wreck right now. You can tell it's March Madness. But, you know, we just won an exhilarating game in the conference tournament championship. But the most exciting news of that day was that when I found out I was going to be in the jungle on Monday afternoon. So I'm pumped.
My man, you sound amazing. Craig, you sound great. Way to play through it. Now, you and I spoke earlier in the season, and I enjoyed that conversation so much, I wanted to make sure that we spoke again today. But take me back to before Saturday's Mountain West Championship game against San Diego State. You know how tough the Aztecs are. So what was your message to your team before that game?
Well, they're loaded, and they're the number 4 defensive team in the country. They can really, really score. You know, we knew what we were made out of. You know, we're the defending champs. And like we told the guys, the title still goes through Utah State. And we're the defending champs, and we got a lot of pride in our program. And I know a lot of people were counting us out, but our guys never believed the noise. And so they were fired up for the opportunity. And we just felt like it was two heavyweights going at it. And we just had to keep it close to the last 2-3 minutes, and then we had to find a way to win in the end. And our guys had a great look to them and great pride to them. And obviously, we're led by a heck of a player, and we put the ball in his hands, and he found a way to make that 3, and the rest is history.
You know, I'm going to ask you about that. We're talking to Utah State head coach Craig Smith. All right, so in the second half, you keep battling and grinding, and then with 39 seconds left, the player you're talking about is Sam Merrill. He ties the game with a free throw. Then he has the ball in his hands with the clock running down late. He pulls up for a deep 3. He knocks it down with 2.5 seconds left. What kind of emotions were running through you as you watched that play unfold?
Well, it was an iconic moment, quite frankly, and what a thrilling game. And we couldn't score. He missed so many wide open shots in the first half. And I mean, clean, good looks that he rarely misses, but he never hung his head. He never wondered like, what is going on? Just stuck with it. And, like I said earlier, they're number 14 defensive team in the country. And we were able to score 48 points on them in the last 22 minutes. But there was no doubt. I actually had a dream that was going to happen. And we're not a big, like, ISO basketball team. We're number 10 in the country in assists this year. Last year, we were number 6 in the country. So we're really a share of the ball, move the ball type of team. But he just had that look. You know, he's an incredible player. And we had run 1-4 flat 8 times in 3 games going into that. And we had scored, 15 points. So almost 2 points of possession. So there was never a doubt. Sometimes coaches can overthink it. Let's get the ball in the best player's hands, and he'll find a way to win that game. And so Phil Jackson was an amazing coach, and I'm not trying to compare myself to him. Michael Jordan and Kobe, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. Get those guys the ball, and they'll find a way to win that game. And when Sam drilled it, it was just kind of one of those moments that, you know, great things happen to great people, and Sam's a phenomenal person, and now we're dancing.
Craig Smith, now they're dancing. Utah State head basketball coach. You know, one follow-up on that. I mean, you got fired up, and then you got a little bit emotional as you talked about him, and you ended it by saying, quote, he's just everything that a college athlete's all about. Craig, you mentioned you want to find a way as a coach to get the ball into the hands of a great player, but he's more than just a great player, right? Like, what does he mean to you, and what's he mean to your program?
Well, he's a legend, certainly, and he grew up at Aggie. He grew up very, very close to here. He grew up coming to Utah State basketball games, and we celebrated our 50th year in the Spectrum, and he was a little kid sitting in those stands watching all these former Aggies play and watching guys cut down the nets, and that was his dream. And now he's become, you know, hopefully what every 3- and 4- and 5-year-old young boy wants to become. And the things that he has been able to do certainly changed our program's course, but also so many, hopefully, young lives, you know, growing up and aspiring to be like him. And he's always helping out in the community. He's a tremendous student. He just does everything the right way, treats people with great respect. If he says he's going to do something, he does it. He's accountable. And he's a guy, like, every single day, and I would say this about our team, but every day I can't wait to get to the gym to go to practice. I can't wait to watch film with our guys. And when your best player has the mentality and shows up every day, and that's not coaches speak, like, the dude's there every day ready to go, and he hates losing. And in our program, when we when a team loses in practice, they run sprints, and he hates running sprints. But when he does, he wins that sprint every time. And he's not the fastest or the most athletic, although he's more athletic than people realize, but he just wills himself. And to me personally, he's been incredible. When I got hired 2 years ago, he could have went anywhere in the country. And he stuck to it. He believed in us. And his whole goal, what everybody told me before I got hired, is all Sam cares about is winning. Doesn't care about his stats. Doesn't care about any of the peripheral. He's not crazy on Twitter. He just wants to win. And he's certainly been the catalyst to get us to back-to-back championships and back-to-back NCAA tournaments. And now we want to go there and win in the NCAA tournament.
Utah State head coach Craig Smith fighting through it, joining us for a few more moments. Gets to go dancing once again. That's so big right there, right? I mean, going to the tourney and getting to dance is great. But once you're there, you want to win. Merrill said after the game, Craig, that the school has not won a game in the NCAA tournament since 2001. A lot of coaches talk about how the NCAA tournament is something of a crapshoot. But at the same time, how eager are you not just to be there, but to get that win and hopefully more?
Our guys are so pumped to get back there and win when we get there. And we said that right away from the get-go when we got hired. We're going to get to the NCAA tournament and win when we get there. And we did some amazing things last year. Highest seed in tournament history as an 8 seed, won 28 games, third most in the history of Utah State. But our guys had a super bitter taste in their mouth at the end of last season because of the way it ended in a tough loss to Washington. And so our guys have been thinking on this and stewing on it for a year now. And so we're super pumped. And obviously, it's a wide-open tournament this year. The only thing that's expected is the unexpected. So, you know, we got a chip and a chair, and we plan on making the best of this opportunity.
I love it. A chip and a chair. Really quickly, Craig, so if you didn't win the conference tournament, you'd have that kind of anxiety of whether or not you'd be in on Selection Sunday. But now you know you're in. You know you're set. How do you go about approaching this week?
Man, it's we've taken a few days off. And we're going to come out guns a-blazing in practice, man. Our goal, you know, Namia Shikata is a big-time player. He didn't play half of our season. And so we've been saying all along, like, the sky's the limit. We just got to get better every week, every day. And I know it's a little cliche-ish, and a lot of times when teams get to this point in the year, you kind of are what you are. But when I look back at our season, I feel like the last 2 months, we've truly gotten better every week. And I have no doubt in my mind we can really get better before the NCAA tournament starts in the next 10 days because Kate is finally 100% and his conditioning is great. And we're just continually finding new ways to win basketball games. And I think that's a sign of a team that has a chance to be great.
Hey, listen, really quickly, you should save your voice, except since you said that, the fact is you have gotten better. You go back to a stretch in early January, you were 1-4 in conference play. Could have been easy to let the season slip away, but you turned it around. How much of that was about getting healthy, and then how much of that was about something else?
Well, a huge part was healthy. We have tremendous chemistry. Our guys get along so well. In fact, I pulled Sam aside in early January. I was like, gosh, like, I feel like our chemistry is impeccable. I feel like our guys get along great. And I said, am I missing something? He goes, Coach, oh, my gosh, our guys get along so well. And we had great chemistry last year, but Sam's like, Coach, we get along better this year than last year. And so we were so beat. And I'm not an excuse guy. I never like to bring stuff like that up. But, I mean, Merrill was playing on, like, 1.5 legs for probably 2/3 of our season. Kata, obviously, coming off a pretty serious injury. Justin Bean, his ankle was the size of a parachute. Like, he probably shouldn't have been playing. And not to mention a guy popping his shoulder out, a guy with a chronic back issue, another guy was, I go on and on. We couldn't even practice 5-on-5. And so we had to weather that storm. We had to get through it. We had a difficult setback against another team, but we came back in and said, we are not going to flinch. And I wish I could make that more emphatic, but my voice sucks right now. But we just thought, we are not going to flinch. We are going full steam ahead. This is a minor bump in the radar. And we are going to show everybody what Utah State basketball is all about. And our guys believe, man, we watched a video of the great late Jim Valvano. And towards the end of the video, he says, our bags are packed. Our bags are packed. And that became our theme. We will not flinch, and our bags are packed for the NCAA tournament. And our guys bought in, never flinched, and here we are today.
Don't you worry, my man. That was emphatic as can be. Craig Smith is the Utah State head basketball coach, second season there. He has been a conference coach of the year 4 times, led them to a share of the Mountain West regular season title and the conference tournament last year, and they are dancing once again. Craig, with that classic coach's voice, I know you're a little banged up. I so appreciate you playing through it. We had to get you back on. Can't wait to see where they send you, who you draw, and you know we'll be on top of that.
Awesome, man. I am so pumped to be on the jungle, and let's do it again soon.
Oh, we're going to do it again real soon. We're going to do it again real soon. Craig Smith, thank you very much. Coach Craig Smith, that's tremendous. Everybody was hyped. And, you know, in terms of the jungle, San Diego State's a very good jungle school. That's a really good team and a really good program. I'm just here to say Utah State, what they did to win that game in the fashion that they did, they fell behind 27-11, couldn't knock down a shot, just kept battling, kept firing away. And now we know how, right? Craig Smith said, we will not flinch. Our bags are packed. We're going. And they are. That is like the most amazing coach's voice in March. Tom Izzo wanted to give my man a halls. Ray in SA tweets, hey, Rome, fire your EP. Does he screen your guests to see whether or not they can speak at all? It sounds like my Saturday night scope. Paulie in Indy, what's wrong with this guy's voice? Signed, Greg in Sun Valley.
That's back.
Canadian Hitman tweets, wow, this is the best Bob Einstein impersonation ever. RIP, Super Dave Osborne. Dude, the guy just coached his team through the Mountain West tourney. He's going dancing again. Not only did he do that, all the credit in the world for playing through it and coming back to the jungle. He could have so easily said, hey, man, I can't do it. My voice is shot. I'm really sorry. Tell Rome I love him. Tell Rome I love the jungle. He didn't say any of that. He said, I'm doing it. Yeah, we're doing it. For sure we're doing it. Man, I'm telling you, if you're coming here to make fun of that guy and his voice, you best take that crap someplace else. That's bull crap. I love Craig Smith. Love what they accomplished. When we come back, Bob Melvin, the manager of the Oakland A's, is my guest. Stay with it. Open phones on the back end. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. We're talking A's baseball on the other side of this.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. All right, so from college basketball to Major League Baseball, we are joined right now by the manager of the Oakland A's. 10th season with the A's. He is a 3-time manager of the year. One of 6 managers in the history of the sport to win manager of the year in both leagues. Led Oakland to back-to-back 97-win seasons. Back-to-back spots in the postseason. Oakland is at Texas this evening, 6:05 Pacific time. We are joined by Bob Melvin. Bob, there is so much to talk about with the team, but before we get to that, how is your life? How are you doing these days?
Doing pretty good. We you know, first of all, always a pleasure being on. Thanks for having me on. And, yeah, you know, we're looking to do a little better than we did last year, obviously. We feel like we have, you know, a pretty good club. We won 97 games the last 2 years. And you know, kind of the attitude coming in is what's the next step for us. So at this point, short answer to your question, I'm doing pretty good.
Good, Bob. And first of all, let me also say it's always good to have you on the show, and it's good to have you back. So you're coming off those back-to-back 97-win seasons. You just said it. We want to do even better than we did last season. You do return a good chunk of the team. So what's the vibe been like in camp so far?
Yeah, it's been a really good vibe. Maybe our best here probably in the last 3 or 4 years, and rightly so. I mean, when we bring guys back, it means there's a window. You know, Billy and David are pretty good about identifying a window. And when you win 97 games 2 years in a row and you're bringing back mostly the same guys and you're adding actually more guys from within your system, which is key for us. You know, younger players have to perform for us to be successful. We've had, for the last couple of years, a core group of position players that have come up through the system, and now our best pitching prospects are here, too. So it's a great vibe in the clubhouse, about as good as we've had here.
Bob Melvin joining us. I'm glad you mentioned that about your best pitching prospects. Jesus Luzardo went 3 1/3 before looking at the full performance. He struck out 5 in the first 2 innings. He allowed 2 hits and a walk. It would seem like a really strong couple of innings, first couple of innings. But afterwards he said, and I quote, "After the first 2 innings, I felt really good. That's kind of what I wanted to feel. The first 2 innings weren't what I wanted. So I'm glad I was able to kind of get through those and change up in the third and the fourth." My question to you is, you know, how valuable is it to have a pitcher who takes a mature approach like that, gets it like that, and he's only 22?
It's amazing that these guys don't come around very often. And he's a really driven kid. He's got high goals for himself. He's very respectful. He knows where he is in his career. It's the total package. And you know, he understands the strengths and weaknesses. There aren't many weaknesses. He ended up striking out 8. I think in 3 1/3, and one, I think the umpire might have missed a call. It might have been 9, yet he wasn't particularly happy with maybe his first pitch strikes, you know, in the first couple innings. So, you know, very, very high ceiling for this kid, about as high as anybody I've had.
Oakland A's manager Bob Melvin joining us. That's really high praise. At the same time, another part of that is catcher Sean Murphy, who came up for 20 games last year, and he's had to deal with some injuries in the past. But as you've said, quote, "This is the type of a guy a catcher turned manager waits for," end quote. So as a catcher turned manager, what do you see in Murphy that gets you so fired up?
It's the total package. You know, he gets it behind the plate. He's really good defensively. He frames well. He throws well. He's got a ton of power. And now, you know, the job for us is to keep him healthy through the, you know, he hasn't had a full season yet. He's probably not going to be a 120 game guy. So we got to pick our spots with him to keep him healthy, get him through the year. But, like I said, you know, I get tired of sometimes having to break in catchers every year. I want somebody that, you know, understands our program. He's been with us in spring training for the last 3 or 4 years. So he understands that. He's come up with a lot of these young pitchers too. It's just the perfect time for him. And, you know, just another one of our best prospects, our top three guys that have got here last year in the middle of a pennant race. So, you know, they have all those firsts out of the way, too. And now it's just settle in and get through an entire season.
A's manager Bob Melvin joining us once again. Now, one of the things that you and I have talked about is the impact that guys like Matt Chapman, Matt Olson, Marcus Semien have in terms of setting the tone for the entire team. I mean, you're always going to keep working on culture. That's an ongoing thing. But at the same time, when you've got guys like that in the clubhouse, does it free you up to focus on other things as manager?
Without a doubt. And they have it down. You know, and I've told you in the past, too, you know, leadership can come from younger guys, too. And,
right.
You know, in the past couple of years, we've had some younger guys here that have been able to lead, and we take the reins off and we let them lead. You don't have to be 3 or 4 or 5 years in our clubhouse to consider yourself a leader. And Matt Chapman, Matt Olson, you know, Chad Pinder, for a guy that's not an everyday player. Marcus Semien has been absolutely fantastic for us. Mark Canna has been here for a while, too. We have a lot of guys here now that take care of that clubhouse. And it's one of the better clubhouses I've been in.
We're talking to Bob Melvin. You know, one of the biggest stories, of course, Bob, in baseball this offseason was the sign-stealing scandal, and your pitcher, Mike Fiers, was the whistleblower, which led to the investigation. A couple of weeks back, though, David Ortiz called him a snitch. Well, I mean, that's a really strong statement. What was your reaction when you heard that?
I obviously didn't like it. And, you know, look, the guys that have played in the past, there's been the old adage that what goes on in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse. this wasn't a clubhouse thing. You got IT guys, you know, setting up monitors down in the tunnel, and cameras, you know, up in the, you know, where the cameras are shooting down to a catcher's signs, and now you have guys banging on trash cans. This isn't a clubhouse thing. You know, what's the alternative? Just let this continue. So it took a lot of guts for Mike to speak up. You know, he was part of that group. He knows what was going on, and you know what? He took a lot of flack for it, but I think as longer this thing goes on and more that comes out doing that, he'll be celebrated for it.
I was going to say, Bob, how much do you think that he helped the game by bringing all of this to light?
I'm sure MLB and the commissioner's office is ecstatic that, you know, someone that was in that clubhouse came out and said something, because now all of a sudden you can go about it a little bit differently. And MLB, it's not like they didn't know, and it's not like they weren't trying to find out, but it really took a player that was in that clubhouse to put it over the top, and, you know, you've seen what's gone on since.
You know, just one quick follow. As somebody who's not just competing against the Astros in your own division, but as somebody who has been around the sport your entire life, who loves the game of baseball, how much did that scandal bother you on a personal level?
A lot. I mean, there's a line, a big line that was crossed there. You know, if you're looking to catch your signs from second base, or, you know, even if your first base coaches are peeking in, you know, that's a little bit more so. But when you're setting up technology to get your guys real time stuff, that crosses a big line. So it bothered me. I kind of had a feeling at some point in time with the technology that was in the dugouts and so forth these days that we were going to get to a point like that. I'm glad that we're hopefully on the other side of it right now.
Bob Melvin, my guest. Really quickly, Bob, is it true that you have a 1966 Buick Electra? And if so, how did you first get hold of a ride like that?
it's my wife's, actually, and it was willed to her by her great uncle from Little
awesome.
Rock, Arkansas. And it is a boat. I mean, this thing is the biggest car I've ever seen in my life. She doesn't even allow me to drive it, so I can't say it's mine. My wife's the one that takes full ownership of that, but it's turquoise and it's a pretty cool looking ride.
Beautiful. So how often does she get it out, and when does she get it out?
You know what? We have a little place up at Sedona, and that's where it stays housed. And when we go up there, that's her car of the spot. So we were very lucky to come across it. She takes great care of it and keeps it in great shape. The back seat, it's almost like a bus. You could sit like, you know, eight kids, and it's the seat belts, you know, that just go straight across the waist, and there's like six of them back there. So pretty unique car, and it's in great shape.
What a blast. Three-time manager of the year, one of just six managers in the history of the sport to win manager of the year in both leagues. Oakland coming off back-to-back 97-win seasons, and again, they're in action tonight against Texas. Bob Melvin, my guest. Bob, so great to have you back. I appreciate you and our conversations all the time. Thank you.
You got it. Look forward to it again.
Me too. Bob, thank you. Appreciate you and the A's. 10 years with the Oakland A's. And did not pull any punches at all on the sign-stealing scandal. We'll come back. One last segment, and it's a wide-open segment. Got a lot of content that I did not get to, including another week in the XFL. I mean, they were awfully happy with them, weren't they? The XFL, I mean. If you have any reaction to anything you've heard, now is the time. Pick up the phone, hit us up. 1-800-636-8686. Lakers or Clippers? Lakers, Clippers, or Bucks? Is somebody else going to have a say about this? Can the Rockets get right? Are the Celtics that team? Toronto? Next time you want a protein snack, ditch the drinks and the bars and grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky. Tender, tasty, real beef that rocks your craving for a snack that satisfies. Ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? So here are your options for the last segment today. You can call and get through and get on the air. 1-800-636-8686. Or you can tweet at me, at Jim Rome. Or you can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at havetake.com. Or you can listen to my thoughts on the XFL. I noticed Adam Hawk walked into the studio and looked so much worse. So much worse. Hey, Adam, if I didn't know any better, it would seem to me that all of a sudden now you're deteriorating quickly because you got all your glory. You got all your run. Is that what's going on? All of a sudden now the limp is really pronounced? Dude, you were bouncing off the walls by comparison, prior to me giving you all that run. All right, so a couple of quick emails. Rome, if that's what Craig Smith sounds like, we will never hire him. Ever. Signed, USC. John in Huntington Beach, War Hawk, motivating me to run the full under 4 hours next year in HB. I see what you did there, John. It's not too bad.
Hey, John.
Rome, Hawk, finished under 5 hours? Not us. Regards, most Major League Baseball games. War IRA using a cinnamon graham cracker is a diamond-encrusted credit card.
Diamonds on my wrist.
Dear Jim, yesterday is the only day you will see someone running the streets of Los Angeles when it's not the end of a car chase. Congrats to Hawk on crushing it. Now can we get back to the rando tennis meetup stories? Jerry in Phoenix. I'm going to read this email just as it's written. I am freaking dying. Major props to Hawk for busting the five-hour barrier, shutting my bitch ass up, and avoiding the flight deck ink stain. Yes, it was I who proposed the tattoo, because I could not imagine this amount of improvement. War Hawk, war all fat, unathletic men. War flight deck, getting Hawk's cat tattooed on his ass. Amazing content. The thing is, the flight deck's not accepting it. He still keeps blowing me up with clock don't lie. Clock don't lie. Clock don't lie. Ink up, son. Ink up, son. Hey, Adam, if it's not too much work, can you put your headphones on? I want to ask you to walk all the way back into the studio. What did the wife think about the possibility of you getting a James Kelly tattoo?
So I hadn't told her, but it had made its way back to her because my family watches the show every day. And she was, you know, like, how come you didn't tell me that there's a tattoo on the line this weekend? And I said, because there's a tattoo on the line this weekend. And she's like, well,
good
what's
job,
it of?
Hawk.
And I said, well, it's of...
You should have told her the XR4TI crew.
Yes. I said it's of James Kelly's giant head in a F-14 Tomcat. And she said, you won't be getting that regardless of how you finish. And I have never, ever gone back on a bet before. I did realize something stupid about this bet. There was zero on the line for James Kelly.
He's smarter than you are.
That's true.
That's a great bet for him.
That is true.
Place.
Yeah, so... That was also a motivating factor, is I was going to get that tattoo.
Okay, to be fair, it's not like there was nothing on the line. There was the possibility he might be wrong.
Okay.
And you might make him look bad by being right. That's a lot, man.
Okay.
Not as much as what you had writing on it.
Yes, and luckily I did not have to go through with that tattoo, because I would have, even though my wife didn't want me to, because I never go back on a bet.
How much friction would that have caused at home?
A lot. A lot. Yeah.
Man, you do and say really dumb things.
And luckily I got out of this one.
Man, you did. You were able to grind through it. All hail Hawk. Good job. The bird.
Thank you.
James Kelly just will not let it go. Hey, flight deck, keep moving, man. He got over. He got over on you. It's the chip, not the clock. Chip don't lie. James Kelly keeps hammering. That clock don't lie. That clock don't lie. That chip don't lie, brah. That chip don't lie. Hey, man, what hurt more? What hurt more, 26.2, or are you smashing your head on that camera?
The camera, of course.
There you go. Good answer. Let's go to the ATP. Ask the Pros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Rome Slice. It's been a few days. Head injuries tend to bare their teeth like a blooming flower. With that said, how are you feeling today after smashing up the camera last week? Daniel in the D. I appreciate that. Here is the really honest answer. I smashed my head on Thursday.
Smash!
And that was after the first hour. So I played through 2 hours. You know what? It got worse. Not, I don't want to say it got worse, but on Friday, when we made light of it, I was still kind of out of it, honestly. And I said to Adam Hawk when I left, I said, bro, I need a workout badly. I really need to get at some of this bloat. I need to hit the cardio. He's like, if I were you, boss, I would not do anything this weekend. Lay low, lay low. I would not do it. I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm going to do it. So then I went home and I didn't do it, but got up Saturday morning and hit it hard. Felt good. Felt good. I'm fine now. I'm fine now. But I will tell you, I think that that ding stayed with me for the better part of a day and a half. All good. Really dumb move, but all good. Head on a swivel.
That was fine.
James Kelly. I want to see if he was calling me in the middle of the segment. Like, pick, hey, pick it up, man. Clock don't lie. Clock don't lie. Damn, Rome. Craig sounds like he just ran a marathon. Way to go pushing through that pain. Warhawk, rocking L.A. War, the inspiration of the jungle. I'm going to step in Hawk's footsteps and go sign up for a run. Yours truly, Schmidt in SoCal. Adam, put him on again. Dude, how about the fact that not only... Okay, first of all, I meant to ask you this when you came in. What do you have to say to James Kelly and all the other skeptics slash haters?
Honestly, I thought about like coming in and just sticking it to him, but that's never been me, so that would be an act. I love everybody, and I love the fact that they motivated me through doubt, and so I actually owe them a debt of gratitude. So I appreciate James going against me and everyone else who did as well.
Because really? Because James Kelly just texted me again, and it says, and I quote, I'm reading a text, clearly read 506.14. He's not letting it go.
He's an idiot. He's an
I thought
idiot.
You love everybody and you're not going to go back in.
I love James, but he's an idiot on this one because there are 27,000 people trying to get through a tiny start gate. Your chip does not start
Dude,
until
my man
you
is
cross
so loud.
Line. Yeah, he's the loudest
guy in the
world.
He came in my office one day to talk to me. I'm like, Ike, why are you yelling at me? Oh, I am? Sorry. Oh, no, you are, Ike. I'm 4 feet from you. I can hear you. Yeah, go ahead. Adam.
Yeah. So the chip, your chip starts on the back of your bib when you cross the line. Last year, I didn't start till 24 hours after the gun went off. This year, I didn't start till 9 minutes after. So James Kelly can go to hell with that take because it's just wrong and stupid.
He's an idiot and he can go to hell. That was like 4 seconds after. I'm all about love. I'm filled with love.
I do love James
Kelly. I would never go in on any of these guys. So, I mean, you were probably too exhausted to even have any kind of real emotion. But when you looked up at that clock and it said 506 as you hit that line, what kind of terror ran through you?
I knew right where I was, so there was no terror. If it had been close to 509...
Oh, you were on chip time?
Yeah, because when I crossed, I started my watch.
Okay.
So my watch had chip time.
Got it.
Which is fine. If we were close to 509, then I'm in terror mode. I knew I was safe by at least 2 minutes.
Got it.
That being said, for a 26-mile run to come down to 165 seconds was pretty crazy.
No question. Ask James Kelly. Hey, you got anything else, big head? He stopped. There's no bubble. There's no text coming. I think he took care of that. You're an idiot and a loser. Is that what it was? 1-800-636-8686. Last chance if you want to weigh in on this. James Kelly is not accepting this defeat well. Bro, you got to class it up. You got to tip your hat. I know it's hard because you frankly don't respect the bird that much. Athletically especially, you got to tip your hat.
He's fat,
he did it.
He's slow. He's a stoner. He's
yeah. I understand that you don't look good, fat, slow, and a stoner. I get it. Let's go to Santa Monica quickly. War Lady Clones, Susie in Santa Monica. Susie, what's up?
Hi Jim. I was at the marathon yesterday. I saw Adam. Oh my God, he's so hot. His whole vibe, his mustache, his like hipster vibe, his purple shirt. He looked like DK Metcalf out there. I mean, Jim, he's so hot. He was looking so good out there. He's just the spiciest kid I ever did see.
Anytime, Alvin. No.
You don't like that color.
I don't like that color. Not a very good
I'm not sure who that was. I just know that was not Susie in Santa Monica. You know what that sounded like? It sounded more like Jeff in SoCal. I can't confirm or deny. I just know that that was not Susie. So the last thing I've heard from James Kelly is, quote, clearly read 506.14. I think even the big head is accepting the fact now that the bird got over. Derisively referring to him as the bird for several months now. Go ahead, Adam. Put him on yet again. You got a giant grin on your face. Why?
Shout out to the next show, Tiki and Tyranny. Tiki Barber just texted me a whole hour shaved off. What the bleep. So awesome. Congrats, brother. Proud of you.
Dude, that is so cool. That is so awesome with Tiki to say that and to do that. He would know.
Yeah,
I mean, never mind that he was a great, great NFL player. He is a marathon killer.
He absolutely is a marathon killer, and I felt bad for Tiki because his massive white whale of a marathon, Tokyo Marathon, got canceled because of coronavirus. He had been training forever. That's a huge, huge thing to get canceled, so that's a bummer for him, but really cool of him to text me that, and I appreciate it.
When I saw him at the O'Reilly Managers meeting recently, he was all about that. Tiki was ready for that one. He was all about that. In fact, we were spellbound by all the stories he told us about getting ready for that marathon, so I know that was too bad. I know Tiki was feeling that, but for him to say to you, brother, way to shave an hour off your time, that's unheard of. That is really cool. Really cool.
Absolutely, and I appreciate it. And take that, James Kelly.
James Kelly's gone radio silent, man. That's very unlike him. Very unlike him. Well, hey, James, you do have this going for you. You got every single one of your picks wrong this weekend. Trevor Kelly. So you got that going for you, which is nice. He'll bounce back. He'll bounce back. I wonder if he would survive walking into the camera the way you and I did, Adam, with a head like that. Or if he would even know. If he would even know, the camera would be down for the count. Imagine if James Kelly walked into that thing, man, that would run all the way around that track, slam into the other camera. We'd be off the air. Eric Gilsonen says he will get James Kelly into LA Marathon 2021 for free. What do you mean, as opposed to the entry fee? All right, so what Eric Gilsonen is saying, hey, Big Mouth, go ahead and run it. I'll pay for the entry fee. Let's see what you got. It's a $240 entry fee. Yeah, I get the sense that James Kelly is not running the marathon because of the money, Adam. I don't think it's a $240 fee. In fact, what I would say to that is I will match that offer. Gilsonen can get him in for free, and I'll give him $240 if he runs. James Kelly, this is not what you signed up for. It's not what you want, man. You got to tip your hat to the bird.
He's a St. Louis Battle Hawks.
Wherever work gets done, Grainger is there with the industrial supplies, safety products, and time-saving services that you need to keep your business running smoothly. See for yourself when you visit Grainger.com. Grainger, for the ones who get it done, that's a full Monday, a good Monday. My thanks to Dan Wojcicki. Craig Smith is the head basketball coach at Utah State. Big, big win over San Diego State. They're dancing once again. We had the manager of the Oakland A's, Bob Melvin. Adam Hawk did it. James Kelly's not accepting it. Thanks for listening. Have an amazing day. See you tomorrow. We're out.